This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We're so glad you're with us this morning, as we are thankful for our guests, David Rotem and Sherlock Bali. These two gentlemen have very significant backgrounds, and they bring with us the important concern about Israel as it relates to the nations. Israel, as you know, has a fascinating story. Never before has a nation been dispersed around the world, basically destroyed, annihilated, and then come back together to reform. More than that, Israel has been a centerpiece of tumultuous tension through the history of the world. No other nation can, if we can say, boast about such a history. It's incredible, is it not, to see how the Jewish people has survived the onslaught of enemies, I believe, through the protection of God. Well, we'll be interested to see what David Rotem thinks about all this and the perspective he brings as a member of the Jewish Parliament of the Knesset. David, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And our other guest, Sherlock Bali, are you a doctor?
Yes.
Comes to us as an evangelist, travels the world. You're from Trinidad?
Born in Trinidad, lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. And so you're coming to us today from Tulsa, and David from Israel. And we're so grateful that you two are able to be with us on the radio. David, tell us a little bit about why you're traveling, why you're here in the country.
Well, I will tell you. I am a great believer in the covenant between God and Abraham. I believe that the Jewish people were selected by God to be his people. And for the last at least 2,000 years, all kind of nations were disappearing. I mean, if you will check in the history, where are the Egyptians, where are the Medians, where are the Greeks, where are all those...
That's right.
They've disappeared. Jews are staying, and they will stay forever.
And back then, those nations, you talk about the Persians, the Greeks, the Median Empire, these were huge world nations, and Israel was the little geopolitical
football. And they were very
football.
Strong nations.
Yes.
They were empires.
Nations.
Empires. But they all disappeared because there was no belief that they had in a God, in a bigger power than they are. And that's something that we are trying to explain to the world.
They had many gods, but not the Almighty.
They didn't have a God.
Yes.
They had stories, but they didn't have a God.
Yes.
Now, Jews and Christians are coming out from the same root, from the same tree. And we have separated our ways, and we are different religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that both Jews and Christians want Messiah to come. And we are praying every day for Messiah to come.
Mm.
And I want the Christian to pray also for the Messiah to come. And when he comes, he will be trustful. We will be able to ask him, is it your first or second time? And whatever answer he will give us, everyone will accept.
Yes.
So why should we fight until he comes?
I love it.
Yes.
Yes, very, very well stated.
Yes.
We're from the same roots. We're looking for a Messiah, and we'll find the answer when he comes.
Amen.
Yes. Now, David, we have a lot to say. Our hour is going to go very quickly, I know. Sherlock, tell us why you're here, and why are you together?
You know, there are 10,385 verses in the Bible that are prophetic in nature.
Mm.
You take all the scriptures on heaven, hell, the Holy Spirit, and salvation. God said more about prophetic things.
Mm.
Sin is mentioned 380 times. Love, 280 times. Israel, 2,300 times.
Mm.
Almighty God has placed a president on the nation of Israel, on the city of Jerusalem,
yes,
the Jewish people.
Yes.
Because of that, I always tell people, Israel can explain its existence without the church, but the church can't explain its existence without Israel.
Well,
we have a responsibility. We have a debt. We have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And to think in this moment, as we are sitting here, that Jewish history, spiritual history, church history is converging right here in this studio, that we have an august member of parliament, that we have an interviewer that's a child of God, that we have spiritual history in the making, and there's a convergence in one day of this. It's a prayer that I have prayed for 35 years.
Wow.
So my heart is to see a union between Israel and the Christian. My heart is to let the Christians know that Judaism doesn't create my fate, it defines my fate. The issue is not to Judaize Christianity or Christianize Judaism. That's not the issue. The issue is for us to find that we came from this book and find our common ground. I think that's very important today.
If you're listening, and this follows in the heels of our programs dealing with the Jewish and Christian relations, the common background, the history, what we can learn from each other. This is like a capstone for me. But we're looking not just at the Jewish-Christian roots, but also the nation of Israel. It's fascinating when you think of prophecy. Some Christians literally believe there will be a new temple. It will be rebuilt. And Jerusalem being the centerpiece of this, all these prophecies, they give focus. And others say, no, it's just symbolic. The church is the new Israel. I want to say to you, I believe that both are true. Some of it is symbolism, but there has to be some literal fulfillment. Why do I say that? Because if you study the Bible, the Jewish Bible, which Christians call the Old Testament, you see promises there that are yet to be fulfilled. And God has always been good at keeping His promises.
Now that we as Jews, we are believing that the third temple will be. When the Messiah comes, he will build it. So, yes, we do.
Yes. David, how many people in the Knesset, like you, have this passion to see the temple rebuilt? Is that common?
Yes, I think that there are a big amount of members take like this. The ultra-Orthodox parties who are 15 members, they are believing in it. The Orthodox parties do believe in it. I think that about 25% or 30% of the members of the Knesset are looking for Messiah to come and for the third temple to be built.
Wow. As they're looking for the Messiah to come, David, and for you personally, are there certain scriptures in the Bible that really draw you to this belief?
Oh, plenty of them. Because I can prove you that every prophecy in the book is true. In Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Love that.
You know, if you look at the history of Jews, 75 years ago, we were sitting in Auschwitz concentration camps.
Unbelievable.
6 million of us were killed and burned, and everyone persecuted us. If you would have asked my grandfather, when he was in the Auschwitz camp, if he believes that there will be a state of Israel, he would have said to you that you are a lunatic. If you would have told him that his grandson is going to be a member of the Israeli parliament, he would have said to you, come and wash your face and get sober. But it all happened. The state of Israel grew up from the ashes and the bones. This is a proof that the prophecies of God in the book are true, and they are becoming true. And what God wants, no man can change. He might be a president, a leader, a member of the Senate, a member of the Israeli parliament. Nobody can change what God wants. And he wants Israel to stay where it is. He wants us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He wants us to bless the state of Israel, to bless the Jews, and then we are going to win from it.
Wow. You know, as we go back to the war, Israel became a nation, we see in that period of 6 days, miracles. And I can imagine you could recount some of those. You've looked at that history, David.
Well, when I look at this history, it's not 6 days of miracles.
Mm.
It's much more. In 1948, there were 600,000 Jews in Israel.
Mm.
And there were nations, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, the Syrians, the Lebanese, everyone was against them.
Yes.
And a miracle came. The state of Israel was born. This is a miracle. In the 1956, when Gamal Abdel Nasser closed the ways to Israel in and out, there was a war, the Sinai War, in 1956. Very quickly, France and England intervened, and there was another miracle. In 1967, all nation, Arab nations came to fight against Israel. The king of Jordan agreed to accept a military governor from the Egyptian army. And there was another miracle. In 1972, on the holiest day for the Jewish people, on Yom Kippur, when everyone was in a synagogue and people were fasting, another war came. And we won it again.
Mm.
Another miracle. The fact that there are Jews in the world,
yes,
that the state of Israel is existing and is a strong nation, it's a miracle. It's an everyday miracle, not only 6 days.
It's like the story in the book of Esther, from which we have Purim. It's being celebrated again and again in reality. Mm. It keeps on happening. The whole world comes against this one nation, and God steps in. And so Christians look at prophecy, those who take the futurist viewpoint, those who believe in the end times and read it literally, and they see this picture of the nations, literally probably Russia and China, nations sweeping in against Israel. And it tells us that that God, the Messiah, will step in once again. Do you believe that, Dave?
Oh, yes. I will tell you one thing. When there is a covenant, the covenant is being done between Abraham and God.
Mm.
God says to Abraham, anyone who will bless you, I will bless him. Anyone who curses you, I will curse him.
Mm.
Now, I want to tell you one thing. To be blessed by Almighty God is very good.
Yes.
To be cursed by him, God forbid.
Mm. Yeah.
So Christians around the world, if they believe in the book, they should be believing in the blessings that they might get by blessing Israel.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I thank God I'm part of a country that historically has blessed Israel. May that continue. Sherlock, tell us a little.
For this I will say amen.
Yes, yes. Sherlock, you've come from Trinidad, but
yes,
you're in Texas now, and you travel a lot,
yes,
do you?
Yes.
What is your message? What is your heart?
You know,
we all tend to have a life message. I'd love to hear what your life message is.
Look, 27% of this entire Bible is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
I have made it a lifetime study to investigate. My name is Sherlock, so I'm an investigator.
Yeah.
To investigate the deep things of God, the prophetic things of God. Since Israel became a nation on May the 14th, 1948, fulfilling Isaiah 66:8, Ezekiel 36:37, Amos chapter 9, and the list goes on.
Mm.
Over 62 specific prophecies have come to pass before our eyes.
Mm.
Over 62. Ranging from Isaiah 62, 4, 5, and 6, where the land blooms. Isaiah 27, when fruit fills Israel. Luke chapter 21, when Jerusalem is given back, which happened in the Six-Day War.
Mm.
The times of the Gentiles.
Yes.
Psalm chapter 83, 1-7, the nations. This so-called Arab Spring that was prophesied in Psalm chapter 83, where with specificity, Almighty God opened up the military, social, economic condition of a world.
Mm.
I have made it a lifetime. I've authored 8 books and several of them on prophecy to deal with these things. But the passion of my life, the passion is to see the blessings of Abraham on nations, on people, on lives. I just made 2 quick trips overseas. As I landed in Miami, I got a telephone call from another nation. We are having an Easter resurrection celebration. Mm. Would you come and speak at a national? So I went. They asked me to speak on Israel.
Mm.
In the open, over 5,000 people on the little island showed up. Hundreds of people walked up and gave their life to the Lord.
Wow.
Because it is my passion to see people come to God. But in coming to God, get close to Israel. Do you know what the Bible says about that? It's astonishing. When I was far from God, I was far from the commonwealth of Israel. But when I draw nigh to God, I draw nigh to Israel. What word? When I'm far from God, I'm far from the commonwealth, the spiritual universe, the covenants and the blessings. So, Bill, my heart is to see people tap in to the covenants of God and the blessings of God and the power of God.
Fantastic. David?
Yeah, I would like to add a passion that Sherlock has. For the last couple of years, he's working to assist the state of Israel in all kinds of places.
Mm.
One of the places that Israel suffers mostly is in the United Nations. If you will Google resolutions against Israel and resolutions for Israel, you will find that most of the resolutions are against Israel with no idea, with no knowledge, just because it's against Israel. Now, in the United Nations General Assembly, every country has got the same vote. The United States and Grenada, with 200,000 people, have got the same vote. And Sherlock Bally Ministries from Oklahoma had decided to go out to the countries, to the islands of the Caribbean, of all kinds of places, far away, but countries with small amount of people, to influence them, to change, and to start be in favor of Israel, because it's been written in the books.
Mm.
And he explains to them, I have been with him to those places, he explains to them, if you want to be blessed, if you don't want to be hurt by hurricanes, by all those weather earthquakes and so on and so on, bless Israel, and then you will be blessed by God. And that's something that is very important, and that's a job that he is doing, and for this, God will pay him.
Thank you. That helps us understand. If you're just listening in, we have with us David Rotem. He's a member of the Jewish Parliament. He's active on committee. You can Google his name and see this is the real thing here. And Dr. Sherlock Bally is from Tulsa, you said?
Tulsa,
okay, so
Oklahoma,
Tulsa,
yes.
Oklahoma. I said Texas one time. Yes, I apologize. Don't want to get that state mixed up now. They're not the same.
No.
And Sherlock travels a lot. He travels, as David mentioned, to other countries. He has quite a ministry tied to prophecy and the end of time and Israel. Now, if you're listening and you want to call in, I'd like to give you that freedom. If you have a question for either of these two or about Israel itself and prophecy about our country, its relation to Israel, the number here, 693-WHKP. We're going to run this program the whole hour. And so we do invite you to call in. Now, there are people who will say, but Israel has been rather, let's say, warlike, unjust toward the Palestinians. I'm not saying I'm saying that. I understand there's a lot of history here. There's issues about the displaced land. But nevertheless, David, what would you say to this?
I will say to this very simply. Until there is no relation between the Palestinian problem and peace in the Middle East, until 1970 or 72, there were no settlements. Until 1967, there was no occupation. But still you see that from 1948, when the State of Israel was established, until 1967, nobody was talking about a Palestinian state. Not only this, if you will go into the PLO's charter, you will see in section 24 there, they say very openly, we are not asking to have a state in the West Bank or in the Gaza Strip, because they were afraid some from the Jordanians and the Egyptians.
Hmm.
We are seeking a land where Israel sits. They never wanted a state.
Hmm.
They don't want a state today, too, because then they will have a responsibility, and they don't like it.
Their goal is to drive Israel, with the goal with all the, really, all the Muslim nations surrounding Israel.
Yes.
Pulsating with rage. Your goal is to drive Israel into the sea, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, look, there is a guy called Ahmadinejad, who is a president of Iran. He is building nuclear bombs, and he says openly that's to destroy Israel. He won't destroy Israel. He might destroy other countries in Europe or in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are a small devil. The United States is a big devil.
Mm.
So I would think that everyone who wants to live and wants to be secured should fight against this guy.
Yes. Dr. Bali, if someone said to you, listen, I think this country, America, would be safer if we just kind of didn't settle up next to or support Israel right now. It's a scary time for them. How would you respond?
When did November happened? November 2nd happened in Israel or happened in the United States?
September 11th.
September 11th.
Sorry, September
11th. Yes, it happened. That's a good response right there. Where did that happen?
Yes,
right.
It happened here.
It's much easier to attack Tel Aviv than to attack Washington or to attack New York.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't fight only Israel. They are fighting against the West, and they are fighting against ideas. And the freedom and ideas of the Americans and the Israelis are very similar.
Yes.
We are believers,
yes.
And they are fighting against this.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to be secured, he should better pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Mm. If we believe the Word of God to be the ultimate foundation of life and nation, and if we believe that God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, then America as a nation, as a people, whether it be doctrinal, whether it be political, whether it be socioeconomic, whatever it is, we must stand with the nation of Israel. This is the Word of God. Now, I've authored 8 books. One of them I'd like to just quote for you. And by the way, I'm going to give him this, I'll give you another. October 30th, 1991, President Bush convened the Middle East peace plan in Spain to Israel to give up land the same day. The same day. We were saying give up land. A ferocious storm hit the New England states called the Perfect Storm. Same day. Most powerful storm in history. August 23rd, 1992. Give up land. Same day. Hurricane Andrew. September 1, 93. Give up. Same day. Hurricane Emily hit us. January the 16th, 1994. Give up the Golan. Same day. Northridge earthquake. Earthquake. May 3rd, 1999. Divide Jerusalem. Same day. In fact, our state, Oklahoma and Kansas, was rocked with an F5 tornado. I have 17 here.
Wow.
They are over 400. Now, let me just give you one point concerning that. 2008, President George Bush is in Jerusalem, called Zion. Zion in the Bible, and he was saying, look, divide this. The same day, in January, in winter, a tornado hit Arkansas. Now, a tornado in winter is an enigma. Hit Arkansas. Would you like to hear the town it hit? Jerusalem, Arkansas.
Well,
the church had destroyed Zion. The Bible says, and may I read this, Bill, because this was a profound question. And it so happened that I marked this. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So any nation that takes an adverse position to Jerusalem or Israel, according to Almighty God, recompense is coming. We must stand with the nation of Israel.
Let me add a thought, Dr. Bali, and that is that some Christians haven't heard this before, and they'd say, this is kind of astounding, but I don't know that I can believe this. Well, let me add this thought. In the Jewish Bible, our Old Testament, you see over and over, when God allows the nations to punish Israel, nevertheless, the punishment comes back again just because they've come against Israel.
Yeah.
You see this pattern. When people come against Israel in history, there's a reprisal. And if you look at it, I believe it's a hand of God. You can, talking about prophecies, you see prophecies about these other great nations that David mentioned at the beginning that all have been decimated while
yes.
Israel has been revived. In each case, God said, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And he lists the nations through
yes.
prophets like Ezekiel. And so there's a long history of this. We're not just talking about modern history.
And that's powerful because AD 364, Constantine embarked on anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish crusades. His empire split. 1492, the Spanish Empire expelled 300,000 Jews. Their empire was split. England refused to accept the Jews. The sun set on their empire. Yet America opened its doors and received blessings from God. Think about this for a minute, Bill. America, Russia, both have vast populations, vast land, coal, lumber, iron. Great resource. One nation had Catherine the Great, had the Tsars, had the pogroms, had the Pale Settlement, and the May Laws, where Jews were killed. The other nation opened its doors, one blessed, one in great turmoil. The lessons of history do not lie.
Yeah, it's all right in front of us. And yet we've become a country, David, I'm sad to say this, as a representative, a citizen here in America, we've become a country that says they are religious. We say we're Christian. Maybe 80-85% claim that. But maybe a third of that, 20-some percent up to 35, actually even read the Bible and believe it and live by it. So we have this problem that there's a veneer of religion. And I think in some ways it's true also with Israel, isn't it? Would you say, David, today that there are a lot of people who are Jewish here in our country and many in Israel who don't really believe anymore? It's just an ethnicity. It's a tradition they carry forward.
Unfortunately, the answer is yes. But don't forget that tradition is something very important.
Mm.
You know, in 1946, before the United Nations decided concerning the future of the British mandate on Israel, they were establishing a committee called the Anglo-American Committee on Palestine. And David Ben-Gurion appeared in front of this committee.
Mm.
Now, he was not a believer. But he said one thing very important. He said to them, and it was 100 years ago, he said to them, listen, 100 years ago, there was a very important boat going from England to the United States. It was called Mayflower. How many people remember who was leading this boat? What did they eat on this boat? What have happened to this boat? Almost none. But 2,000 years ago, slaves came out from Egypt. We know exactly who was leading them.
Uh-huh.
We know what they ate, because this is a Jewish tradition.
Mm.
And this for the Jewish nation exists, because you see, in America and in every other country, Jews eat the same food, Jews are celebrating the same holidays, and this is tradition. Tradition is very important, even so that it's far away sometimes from religion, but tradition is very important.
Yes, I really appreciate your sharing that. And that gives the foundation for the understanding when Messiah comes. Even those who say they're not believers in God, they have the tradition. When Messiah comes, they'll understand, won't they?
Well, when he comes, he will make us all to understand.
Yes.
He will force us to understand.
Dave, would you mind sharing, our listening audience has not got any information on you. Tell us about your background. I know you're Orthodox in your Judaism, your family is. Tell us a little more in how it is you came into the Knesset and how you developed this interest.
I was raised in Jerusalem. I remember the Six Days War when Jerusalem was attacked by bombs. And we were running to hospitals to donate blood.
Mm.
I studied law. I had a law office that was working with what is called the occupied territories for 35 years. I was doing building settlements. I was helping and assisting the settlers. And after 35 years, I was asked to continue political ideas in the Knesset. And I said, yes, I want to. So I gave away my office. I became a member of the Israeli parliament. And I came into the parliament instead of a very good friend, Yuri Stern, who passed away. And he was the one who decided to build up the relation between Jews and Christians. And when he passed away, I came in and I took over. Mm. And I think it's a very important thing, because at the end of the day, he will come and he will force us all to believe. So let's start to do it today.
And you may have just tuned in. I know some on the radio or in the car, they're tuning in and out. We have with us David Rotem, who just spoke. He's a member of the Jewish Parliament, and Dr. Sherlock Bali. Sherlock, tell us for yourself also. Give us a little more background. Yeah. How on earth does someone from Trinidad suddenly become this traveling figure helping people in other nations understand Israel and prophecy? How did you get there?
You know, I was born in Trinidad. Blue water, white sand, palm trees, brown people. And I moved to Oklahoma. I've been in shock for 30 years. No,
because he has got a beautiful and wonderful wife.
I have an oaky wife. We give my life to Almighty God in Trinidad, and they sent me to Texas to college, and I developed a passion for prophetic things of the nation of Israel. Began to study diligently, and then one thing led to another, and doors began to open. I began to go to Israel, and the greatest wonder of my life was that my passion for Israel and for the Word of God was consummately fulfilled when I was asked to do this for the land of Israel, and with great honor and humility.
Wow. Except. Thank you. David Rotem, Sherlock Bali. We have a caller. Caller, your name, please.
My name is Linda.
Okay, Linda, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question or comment?
Good morning.
Good
yes,
morning.
I do. I am definitely a Christian Zionist, so to speak, and I have a question for David. We know that the term, and I'm not trying to get too political here, but I'd like for the Christians that are listening to understand. Can you give a brief explanation of how the term Palestinian, the current term Palestinian, how that originated? Because it hasn't been used until recently, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I can give you an answer.
Okay.
Palestinians are an invention, a political invention by people who don't like Israel. It started with the Muslim countries and it went into other countries in the world. The truth is that those people who are calling themselves Palestinians are not really Palestinians, because Palestine is the area where Egypt is, Gaza Strip. We know that in the Bible, when God took out the Jews from Egypt, he didn't take them through Palestine because he was afraid that there will be a war and they will return to Egypt. Now, let me tell you one thing. Every Israeli Jew who was born before 48 in Israel is a Palestinian more than every Palestinian in the world. But they will not accept it, because Palestinian became something politically.
Yes.
And I cannot explain you why. I mean, I can explain you. You know, Martin Luther King wrote a letter to his anti-Semitic friend a couple of days before he was assassinated, and he writes that it's very bad and it's not fashionable to be anti-Semitic, so therefore people are going to be anti-Israeli. But if you are anti-Israeli, you're really anti-Semitic.
Linda, thank you. Do you have any other comments?
That is just exactly what what I was wanting explained. So I thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you, Linda. If you're listening and wish also to call in with a question or comment, we're at 693-WHKP. We've got about 15 minutes left here. It's interesting to me, David, when you think about the term Palestine, and it's going back historically to the Philistines. And that's, there is a connection there, isn't there? Not with the modern people, but with the name of the territory.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I've heard there is. Do you have a sense of this?
I want to tell you one thing. The mandate on Israel, the British mandate, was not a mandate on Palestine. It was a mandate on the land of Israel, Palestine, because they were supposed to build two states.
Yes.
A Jewish state and an Arab state. Never spoke about Palestinian state.
Hmm.
Now there is an Arab state. It's called Jordan.
Yes. Then you have to ask yourself the question, what is the Palestinian currency? What is the Palestinian language? What is the Palestinian culture? And why doesn't Jordan or Egypt or any nation want to repatriate those people with all their wealth and some of them with their oil and take them back, but they want to send 5 million of them into the land of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
I happen to... What David has been prolific today. I appreciate that. It's been prolific today. And I happen to see a birth certificate of a Knesset, former Knesset member, that was born before 1948, where it said nationality. Now, he's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
It said Palestinian before 1948.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
What do you say, right now, if people don't look at any of the history, the fight over the land, the promises, the covenants, any of that, there seem to be times when the Israeli government or the military have taken strikes, and when the Palestinian people seem to be unfairly treated, and of course the media takes that and then just mushrooms it out into big stories. But do either of you have comments on that? Should we have compassion for these other people?
Sure, we should have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand what are you talking about, not being treating them in a fair way. Don't forget, in the last 15 years, Israel is suffering from terror attacks by people who are swearing to commit suicide. You see, there is a problem. I mean, not a long time ago, I had an Israeli member of parliament, an Arab, explaining that a shaheed, somebody who kills himself as a religious war, is the highest level that you can be.
Mm.
Now, I don't understand the religion that death and killing yourself and killing others is a very important thing. I believe in religious that is talking about life,
yes,
not about death.
Yes.
Yes, very well stated, David. Thank you.
And he's absolutely correct. What the media does not tell you is that Gaza, where Hamas, oh, by the way, you know, Haman built a gallows to hang Mordecai. But Haman was hung on the same gallows he built. Today, Haman, is trying to do the same thing. But Almighty God will take care of that. But there's something I want to tell you, and David can probably help me here. What the media does not tell you is that Gaza, where Hamas has been voted in, launching 6,000 to 7,000 rockets over Israel, they get, last year, 700,000 tons of food. They get electricity. They get medical. What they don't get is the transfer of weapons and concrete.
You know? Yeah. The truth is, I want to tell you one thing. You see, go and ask people from the PLO about what happened in Gaza when the Hamas took over.
Oh.
The PLO's people were thrown out from the 8th floor's windows. They wouldn't let them go walk down the stairs.
And you never hear that in the media.
And you don't hear it in the media.
Yeah.
Look what's happening in Syria in the last 3 months.
Wow.
The
Arab
coming up in the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
Assad is killing and murdering every day his people.
Yes.
And you don't hear it in the media enough. You don't hear anyone complaining against it. Israel was the one that was offering, helping humanitarian in a humanitarian way to those people who are being suffering there. But they will not accept it.
Perhaps we could say to the listeners there, I brought this out, David, not to be offensive to you, but because of the media here in our country and the way it portrays things, people can misunderstand and think you're being completely one-sided. But let me give a little statement
here. I'm sorry, I'm one-sided.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, I am one-sided. I'm an Israeli Jew.
Okay.
I'm one-sided, yes. But I see my friends, and I saw buses blowing up in the streets. Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Well, what I want to say, David, is you've got these nations comprising millions of people surrounding Israel who have this goal of world domination through jihad, the use of military means, murder, whatever's needed, and I'm not minimizing the reality of what's taught in the Quran. That, now, of course, that's not that every person here in America who says they are of Islamic faith will have that kind of spirit, but that's in the core and center teaching of the faith. Then you've got this small little nation that was regathered in their territory after all those years of history. In the core and center of their faith, they believe in being a peacekeeping people. They have no goal of world domination. They're just wanting to keep their own little piece of land that God had promised so many thousands and thousands of years ago. Quite a contrast. When you look at it that way, suddenly it makes sense that we ought to support Israel, let them have their space, and focus on the rest of the world.
You know? Now, I want to tell you one thing. You should understand, Israel is going to exist, amen, and nothing is going to happen to her. You know why? Because God looks on Israel from morning to morning.
Yes.
All the time. Mm-hmm. God is looking after us. He has promised to keep us, and he will keep us.
You might say then, instead of, I'm not here to tell Americans, please help us, we need your help, you would say, help yourselves by supporting us, because you can be blessed by God.
Absolutely.
When you do this.
Interesting point. Let me give just a little perspective. One Israel, 22 nations, 7.7 million people, 217 million people, 10,000 square miles in Israel, 5.2 million square miles. The Arabs and the Muslims possess and occupy 99.5% of all the land in the Middle East. Israel occupies one half of 1% of the land. They say that Jerusalem is their third most holy site after Mecca and Medina. But the word Jerusalem isn't mentioned once in the Quran. It's mentioned 800 times in the Bible, 660 times in the Old, 140 times in the New. Genesis 17, God promised to bless the descendants of Ishmael. I'll make you 12 princes. They have 22 nations. I'll bless you. They have 75% of all the oil in the world. I'll bless you exceedingly. From the 6th to the 12th century, they were the greatest empire in the world. God has blessed them.
Yes, he has.
But God has given sovereignly in Genesis 12, 17, Psalm chapter 102, Psalm chapter 135, a little sliver of land to a people that he says is my land. And I give it to them for an everlasting possession. And I give it to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There it is.
Wow. Yeah. If you're listening, you have maybe one more chance to call in 693-WHKP. David, are you here in the country for a while? Will you?
I'm here until Friday.
Until Friday. Okay. Are there other places that people can hear you speak, or the two of you speak? What appointments are coming up?
Okay. Can I show this to you? Maybe you can announce if you choose.
I'd be glad to.
Yes.
This is one busy team, I'll tell you right now. And so I'm going to mention a few of the meetings where you can catch these two. Dr. David Rotem, a member of the Jewish Parliament, and Dr. Sherlock. I said Dr. Mr.
Davis.
Here's the Dr. Sherlock Polly. Today, there will be a meeting at the historic courthouse from 1:30 to 3 o'clock with some leaders. Is that an open meeting?
No.
It's really not open.
Yes.
Okay. Opening prayer. Okay, then tonight at 8 p.m., we encourage you to come to the Beth Shiloh congregation with Rabbi Andy Meyerson. This is their Asheville location at 1554 Brevard Road. This is Bent Creek Baptist Church is where they're actually hosting it this time. Okay.
And it's very important that they know them.
Okay, give us more details about tonight's meeting.
So it will be at the Brentwood Baptist Church, Bent Creek, tonight. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we have closed-in meetings. Wednesday, we will be at the Wesleyan Church, Pastor David Blackburn, in Brevard. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, we'll be at the Bent Creek Baptist Church at a Holocaust Memorial meeting, which will be phenomenal.
Mm.
It's going to be a very moving, inspirational time. So we.
What time is that?
That's at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
If anybody wants to contact us, please contact Joy Outreach.
And here's the number for Joy Outreach to you. 883-4255. And you can learn about their whole schedule, but especially it looks like tonight and Thursday night
at Bent Creek. Yes.
You can also Google joyoutreachfellowship.com and the schedule will pop up for you right there. joyoutreachfellowship.com. Okay, we've just got a few minutes left. I want to give you guys the microphone now. I've been prodding you with questions, but what do you want to tell our listening audience? I'll give you both about 2 minutes. What would you like to say?
Our world and our nation is at a crossroads.
Mm.
Nations are not defined as whether they are nuclear, non-nuclear, rich or poor. They are defined as to where they stand with the nation of Israel. We have been given a biblical mandate that is my ultimate foundation, my ultimate authority. And that is, I bless them, Genesis 12. I comfort them, Isaiah 40. I pray for them, Psalm 122. I count Jerusalem above my chief joy, Psalm 137, 5 and 6. We are here to let the people know that in blessing the nation of Israel, we incur the blessings of God on our nation, on our families, on our lives. I don't do it to be blessed. I do it because it's the right thing to do.
Hmm.
It's the scripture, the biblical thing to do. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening to understand that this foundation in the Bible is being unveiled today in the lives of people and in our world. It behooves us to understand so that we can move and we can flow. And we sure would like to see them in some of these meetings.
Okay. David, do you have some final? No? Okay. And we'd like to make a correction. If you're doing the URL search for the schedule, joyoutreach.net, you could probably also just Google Joy Outreach Brevard, North Carolina, and you find it that way. Prisca Forest, North Carolina. joyoutreach.net. You'll find the schedule there again tonight at, we said what, at 8 p.m. and Thursday night at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And those are both at the Brentwood. Bent Creek Baptist Church.
Yes.
Okay.
Wednesday night at the Wesleyan Holiness Church. Sorry.
Wesleyan Church in Brevard.
All right.
And we've also got a meeting Wednesday night at the Wesleyan Church in Brevard.
In Brevard at 6:30.
Okay. As you think about the nation of Israel, why would God choose to make a covenant with one nation, one people? Anybody have an answer?
Oh, yes. I'm not asking question about God.
Hmm.
You see, he knows what he's doing. And that's what he chose to do. So don't ask him. Him too many questions.
Like, why did God create you? Why did God make the sky blue? You know, we can ask questions and ultimately, if there is a God, then God must make some choices.
Yes.
But I'd like to suggest, if you're listening, part of the answer is this. God chose them as the entryway into the world so that all who believe in the Messiah can come into this relationship of salvation. The Messiah will come back one day and bless Israel for being part of this incredible story. David, as you think about this story, you mentioned the Holocaust and some recent struggles as a nation, but look at the whole history of Israel. Has there ever been a nation, in your estimation, who has suffered as much, who's had this sense of divine discipline to keep them on track? Has it ever happened in history?
No.
Certainly not.
No.
There's nothing like
others,
it.
All others disappeared.
Yeah.
And the Jews are staying, and they will stay forever.
It's the real evidence.
And don't forget, we have suffered by Christians mostly. And it's about time for Christians to decide that they're changing the ways.
So when you say that, we think about the Holocaust. It wasn't really Christians, but Christians came alongside. They didn't, by and large, stand up for Israel the way they should have.
Well, most of the Germans were Christians.
They
didn't do it because of Christianity.
No.
They did it because of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
But the Crusaders were Christians, and they did it as a religion.
Yes.
We had plenty of troubles from Christianity. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's about time that we should join forces and fight for the same things.
I think that's a perfect end note, and I'd like to just say a prayer in closing. Lord, help us, as we call ourselves a Christian nation, and yet we're becoming a little bit, by degrees, like Germany was before the Holocaust. We're becoming a watered-down people. Help us to come back to our roots, to understand that you are God, you are alive, and you hold us accountable for our actions and decisions. Guide our government, Lord, to bless Israel. Lord, with all the fight and strife around the world and the difficult issue with the Palestinians, help us, Lord, while having your heart for all sides of the equation, to especially bless Israel and stand by them. Lord, we thank you for David and ask your blessing also on Dr. Bali as they have the meetings the next few days and as they travel to their respective homes. And we give you glory and thanks for this time and for your care for us and for Israel. In Christ's name,
amen.
Well, we hope you'll join us again next Monday as we talk about Bible study that can change your life. We'll have the director, the National Director of Community Bible Study, with us on the air and a couple of other guests. And we hope you will be there as well. God bless you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.